everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. This week, as you can tell, is another Four State retrospective episode, and these episodes will help me get back into the swing of things. And plus, as you can tell by the title episode, it's kind of a hidden episode type, or I should say hidden interview type of episode. And let me explain that to our new listeners, that whoever they might be for the moment. When we sit up for a small show, if we do a small show, or I go to an event or somehow and I record something live there, I might include in that particular episode as a teaser to other interviews or panels that I'm able to snag at that event, a kind of a teaser interview. These are interviews that might be between 5 to 15 minutes and might not be really worthy of a full episode, so they're usually bulked into a live episode. And because some of you new listeners might not have caught these live episodes, I'm providing them for you today. Now, I do have, before I share these hidden interviews for all of you, I do have an announcement. Because I'm still healing from the Lancet stuff, I should say, not Lancet, the abscesses, or them lancing the abscesses, I am in the process of trying to get funds, which may or may not be approved. And that being said, I'm asking for your help in regards to help keeping the lights on and the water running here at the safe house, plus a few other things. Let me tell you what these funds will be used for. Again, utilities like water, electricity, hopefully cable. I'm not really worried about the cable because I'm able to use public access Wi-Fi, or say open Wi-Fi, and I have lots of things here at the safe house to keep me occupied for the time being in regards to geekiness and all that. But the funds also go to helping me keep a storage unit running, which has a bulk of my stuff and a lot of my geeky stuff, and show supplies there. And plus, it helps me pay for extra supplies in regards to my diabetes, which is Lancet, test strips, pen needles, like bandages for the wounds until they heal, tape, and so forth and so on. And it helps keep me around for the time being. So if you're able to donate, please do so. There will be a GoFundMe link in the show's description on our Facebook, or I should say, the link will be provided with the show's promotional description in the on our Facebook page, as well in the show, as well as the show's description. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Anything helps. But if for some reason you can't donate, whether it be for financial or what have you, please share the our Facebook page's post. Again, it's facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It will be the pinned post. Please share the hell out of it. So not only do people get a chance to hear this episode, if they wish to donate and help with the cause, they're able to do so. Now, that being said, our first hidden interview was gotten a few years ago. You might know this gentleman. The gentleman's name is David Nichols. A lot of you might know him from his role in Stargate Atlantis. He played Dr. Raddick on the show. Dr. Raddick was one of the many foreign scientists that helped the main cast, and I think he was part of the main cast for a while, at least two or three seasons on the show. And it was a wonderful part for him, and he had a wonderful time on the show from what I gathered. And a lot of you, though, might be familiar from his most current role from almost last year, because the season ended, I think, early this year, if not late last year, and that is from the show Arrow. That's right, he was on the show Arrow as part of the Arrowverse. He played Anatoly Kenziv, who the character was a kind of a Russian mobster in a way, if not a Russian mob boss. So again, yeah, he doesn't have an accent, so it was kind of odd hearing him not have an accent, so it was very fun. So either way, I'm going to step back and share the interview with you. It's, well, here it is. Greetings, everyone. I'm here with David Nickel from not only the current seasons of Arrow, but he's formerly known from Stargate Atlantis. Hello, David. Welcome to 4Stein. How have you been doing?
Wonderful. Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Like I said, you're most known from Stargate Atlantis and now currently Arrow. You've been on, what, for the past two seasons or three?
Well, it's technically three, but it skipped a couple seasons. So I appeared first in season two, episode six, and then towards the end as the prisoner and on the submarine on Mianyu on the island. And then nothing in three and four, seasons three and four, so 2 year gap. And then in season five, they picked up the Russian backstory, and that was the flashbacks to the Bratva and to Oliver's initiation into the Bratva. So we did that. That was last year. It was great. That was 14 episodes. And this year, season six, we just started filming about a month ago. The episodes, and I got a
More coming up.
Legal, as much as you can tell, what can the fans expect from the upcoming season of Arrow?
Lots of villains and lots of personal stories with between the characters. Oliver and Anatoly have known each other for a long time, and the relationship has taken a turn for the worse. So this is where I'm going, at least. This is where the relationship between the two of them is going this season.
So have you seen your character in Arrow evolve over the at least past season, in season five? Or longer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it started off as a prisoner and in pretty rough shape. Then he came into, returned to Russia, came into the, you know, returned to the Bratva, and as the story unfolded, you know, became the Pachan, became the godfather of the Bratva. Now, as the story evolves, it's going to go to different places, and you guys will see what happens.
I do apologize for a lot of the geek questions and so forth. So, but going from a doctor on, in essence, a sci-fi space station, so to speak, to, in essence, a Russian kingpin, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, as an actor, it's that's fully within the range of what kind of happens. You can go from being a cowboy to being a you know, a plumber. The characters are each sort of developed based on what they are, who they are, and their background. So that's kind of the actor's job, to sort of bring the best part of themselves to the role.
Well, I'm not going to make you choose between the two different major roles that you've done, but I do understand you've done a lot of major other roles. What has been your favorite part overall throughout your career?
Well, that's a tough one. I'm really enjoying Anatoly now, but I mean, I got a soft spot for Dr. Zelenka too. That was good fun. It was a while ago, and it was the first sort of breakthrough role for me. I really enjoyed working on that set and working on that franchise, and that was the franchise that really took me to places like here and, you know, all over the world. So you know, that I've really got a soft spot for that.
So working on both sets similar, or were they a different type of attitude on sets?
Yeah, a little bit. There's a lot of action in Arrow, and there's a lot of characters, and it's in some ways a tougher shoot because you're working quite a bit. So which I enjoy. I enjoy very, very much the work ethic on Arrow. I mean, it's some of the best stunt people and actors and directors that I've worked with, so it's truly enjoyable. Stargate was a little lighter. We had a little bit more fun. We kind of fooled around a bit more. Wasn't as much of a work ethic as it is on Arrow. I mean, we still got the job done, but we sort of goofed around quite a bit.
I know there's been a lot of fan distaste with the Sci-Fi Channel with how they handle things. I'm going to try to word this best I can. Do you care to comment on how the Sci-Fi Channel tends to handle things with working with Stargate?
Well, I'm happy to comment on that because I don't know. I don't watch Sci-Fi Channel. I'm not from the States. We have, in Canada, we've got most of Arrow is on another network. It's on CTV and Stargate when it was on. Oh, I don't even remember what channel it was on. So I've heard about the fans' dissatisfaction, what you're alluding to, with the direction that they're going. And I mean, I don't know the channel enough to be able to comment on that.
I just wanted to get the general sense or anything like that. But fan-wise, which has been the most aspect that you've seen? Is it mostly Arrow now, then Stargate, or still mostly Stargate?
Well, you know, Stargate's turning into a bit of a nostalgia thing now. I mean, it's 10 years old when we were canceled, so 15 since we started. So, you know, there's still lots of great fans from that franchise, you know, around. But now Arrow is bigger. It's current. It's still going. And, I mean, the fandom there is huge, and I've only just begun to taste parts of it. So I feel like I'm on the beginning of that journey.
So you're right now happy with your character on Arrow and so forth and so on. With Steven's aspect of being who he is on that show, are you happy with seeing him being almost the front man of the show in a way?
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't think of someone better than Steven to do it. He's very professional. I mean, he's great to work with. And he sends the elevator down. He kind of helps other people along, which I kind of really like about that. I find him to be great to work with on set.
One of the newer questions I'm starting to ask a lot of the guests, like yourself, at shows like this, which kind of convention do you prefer? A smaller convention like Forest State or the larger shows? Or is there an even love for both?
Well, you know, both are different things. The ability to sort of mingle with fans and you know, talk to them is kind of the whole point of these things. So some of the bigger shows sometimes go a little too fast and kind of herd people through a little quickly. So it's a bit of a shame, and it feels like you don't really get a chance to get to know people. But smaller shows like this are, you do have that chance.
So I think it's been one of those weekends. Has there been a role throughout you? I know I asked about favorite role. Has there been a role that you've enjoyed more? I'm sorry. It's been one of those weekends. Being on my side of things, it's trying to think questions on air, you know, forward. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, what about, no, wait, did I ask that question? What kind of, just one last question, what kind of favorite hijinks between the two major roles? Are you willing to say without getting anybody in trouble?
Oh, I'm not getting in trouble. No. Like I said, Arrow is a work environment. I mean, we have fun, but it's not the kind of fooling around fun that we had on Stargate. That was, you know, Hewlett and I fooling around, and with Jason Momoa, you know, throwing things at each other and making faces at each other during each other's coverage, just stuff like that, you know.
So, honest to God, this is the final question. Where can folks legally stalk you?
On Twitter. At DNYKL. D. Nickel. David Nickel.
Again, I thank you for your interview, sir.
My pleasure.
Though this will be one of our shorter episodes, I do appreciate you taking the time to interview, be a part of the show. So
my pleasure.
And
thanks.
As soon as it's posted, we'll let you know through your Twitter account. And
please do.
So
looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Welcome back, everyone. For those of you who have been listening to the show for a real long time, I hope you enjoyed going down memory lane in regards to this particular interview. And for those of you who are new to the show, I hope you enjoyed the interview for the first time. You could find the whole live episode on our main site, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Plus, you can also find us on the usual platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, etc. But our upcoming other hidden interview that we have for you is a actor by the name of Eddie Denzin. That's right, Eddie Denzin. Not many people, I say, not just not many people know who he is, but some of you, if not a lot of you, might recognize the face if you've seen a lot of his live action roles, because he played a lot of the stereotypical nerdy characters, like in Grease, War Games, Midnight Madness, which is a very obscure film. In Grease, he played Eugene Felsnick. In War Games, it was Eddie Melvin. And in Midnight Madness, it was Wesley. But he's done a lot of voice acting as well. He portrayed the know-it-all slash annoying kid in Polar Express, a wonderful holiday film, I might add. And he also played, or say voiced, Mandark on Dexter's Laboratory, the Cartoon Network classic. This interview is fun. It was short, but even though I think it didn't go well, or wasn't a good interview, a lot of people have told me it's a very good interview, and I hope you enjoy it.
I'm here right now. Welcome, everybody. I'm Reverend Godfrey from the One Coat Mafia podcast. I'm here with Eddie. How do you pronounce your last name?
Deason.
Deason?
D-E-Z-E-N. Yes, sir.
A lot of you might not recognize the name, but a lot of my generation and some of the younger generation might recognize the voice that you hear right now, because he has in recent years done a lot of voice acting. But in the past, you've always been playing, not to knock you, the kind of the original nerdy character.
Absolutely.
Have you felt that you've been pigeonholed in that, or has that become kind of your brand?
Probably so. I'm probably a little pigeonholed, but I don't mind. That's pretty much what I do. You know, it's my shtick, so I don't mind. Yeah.
So how was the transition from being physical actor in movies to voiceover work from, like, Dexter's Lab and other animation series that you've done?
Well, I like voiceover. It's easier. I always had a hard time memorizing lines. So with voiceovers, they just read off a paper. So I like that. It makes it real simple, you know, and I like doing it that way. Much easier than movies, yeah. Although movies are more fun, but it's easier.
So despite playing, having that resurgence of that nerdy character nowadays with Big Bang, have you seen kind of an increase in some of your older work, like War Games? I know it's not really available in mass market yet, like Midnight Madness,
yeah.
And others.
Mm-hmm.
So, or has Grease been kind of the biggest one?
Grease is still the most well-known. I think Polar Express is pretty popular now because everybody watches that at Christmas. But yeah, there's been a little research. I didn't necessarily see that, but I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So, how'd you get started in acting overall?
I was always a class clown in school, and then I came to L.A. I did the Comedy Store. I worked at Comedy Store, did the stand-up. I didn't like doing stand-up, but then I did that, and I did the old Gong Show, if you remember that.
I remember the Gong Show.
I did the Gong Show. I did my act. I got Gong by Paul Williams. Yeah, but that was like my first TV appearance, and then I got Grease the next year. I lucked out. Grease was my first movie.
So in essence, I wouldn't say you lucked out. You lucked into something.
Right.
So being, again, I hate to reiterate on the nerdy aspect of thing mm-hmm. of your career.
Mm-hmm.
Has that? I know I'm repeating. I do apologize for that.
That's okay.
But your most well-known work is obviously Grease, and plus many other bit parts. Which one has been your favorite over the years?
Grease was very special because it was my first film. The cast was so nice, and Grease was so memorable, and it's such a great, legendary film, so that was special. And Polar Express was special because Tom Hanks is my favorite movie star, and he was such a nice guy, such a cool guy. So those two would be my favorites on bookends, like, yeah.
Morning.
Morning, Cheryl. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So,
give it a nice sugar.
Thank you.
The process...
That thank you was me getting a peppermint stick.
Have you been doing anything recently, or?
Not a lot, no. I've been in Maryland. I had some health problems 3 years ago, and I came to Maryland to be with my family, Cumberland. But I'm trying to get back to L.A. this year. I'm all better, so I want to get back to L.A.
So
What kind of work would you like to be a part of?
Oh, I'd love to do another film, any kind of film, independent, low budget. I love doing movies. It's my favorite thing, so I'd love to do that. Any kind of voiceover work I enjoy, you know, that kind of stuff, cartoons. Yeah.
So are you a fan of the independent work that's been kind of quasi-growing?
Oh, sure. Good film's a good film, yeah. Any good movie I love. Yeah.
So do you find that they're with a lot of the remakes that are out nowadays, do you find there's more originality with the independent market?
That's interesting. I could kind of see that. There's a lot of good original stuff, yeah. I could see that, yeah.
So,
yeah.
With, again, going to... How much of yourself do you normally put into your work?
Great question. I would say it's 75% me. I'm a geeky nerd myself. I'm a Beatles fan. I am this geeky. I am this bad with women. That's me. Yeah.
So
I'd say 75%. I make it a little more comical, you know. I make it a little more spaz.
You tend to it's yourself personified a little bit?
Yeah, I could see that. It's a good call, yeah.
So would you consider yourself more of a method actor or more of an average actor?
Average or below average, me. I wouldn't say method actor, not in the Marlon Brando sense, not at all, but just an average actor, yeah. I don't usually use the method. I think back where my dad beat me, you know, and that gets me sad for a scene. I don't think that, not in that method, yeah.
But nowadays, if you're starting to get back into the acting career, would you consider yourself now more of a character actor?
Yeah, I'd say I am a character actor.
Now, granted, we have IMDb to figure out, oh, it's that guy, but
right.
now back in our days before IMDb, it's right. I've known that guy, I've seen that guy,
right.
But now do you still get, wait a minute, I know you, I've
seen... Sure. I get that all the time. That's me, yeah. Very few know my name, that they go, Eddie D's in there. I always had a cult following. That's always me. I was never a star. But people will go, oh, I've seen you. What have I seen you in? Oh, you look familiar. I get that all the time.
But nowadays, with the aspect of Polar Express,
right,
and Dexter's Lab, when you speak, have there been more
Mindy, hi. Hi, sweetheart.
More people that have said, wait a minute, I know that voice, or I've known that.
Yes, I will get that.
So with the younger generation, are you having more people recognize you for your character in Dexter's Lab?
Yeah,
or?
A lot for Dexter, yes.
So is it now, you said last night you had a screening, a Grease screening. How'd that go?
Oh, it was wonderful. Super nice people. It was in Altoona, and it was wonderful. We did it at the university. We had a great lasagna dinner. It was wonderful. Everybody was great.
Have you done many Grease screenings in the past?
Yeah,
or?
They always do. Grease always brings people up. It always makes people happy. You get the gloomiest group. They watch Grease. Everybody gets happy. It's that kind of a movie. Yeah.
So do you have any... I hate these type of questions, but I'm sad I got to do one. Do you have any favorite cult movies that you personally enjoy?
Oh, sure. Well, not necessarily cult, but I like A Hard Day's Night's my favorite film. The Beatles film is my favorite. I love The Hustler with Paul Newman. I love Tombstone's my favorite Western with Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer. I love it. I love Matchstick Men with Nicolas Cage. Those are my favorite movies.
You said, what interesting fact or interesting memory, you say you're a Beatles geek.
Yes.
What interesting fact did you, or interesting memorabilia did you manage to scrounge up or find?
Oh, over the years I've had some. I met the Beatles. I met all except John. I touched Paul once. He was on the Tonight Show and his car was there. His window was down. And I ran up and I touched him on the arm. So I touched the Beatle. I saw George. I was playing Santa Claus once in Beverly Hills. And I saw George Harrison in the shopping center. And I followed him down the corridor. In my Santa Claus suit, I followed him. And I seen Ringo in concert, but I never met John.
Yeah. It's a sad loss. Though.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
He's my hero. Yeah.
So, well, obviously you don't. I would like normally ask if you have any upcoming projects, but do you have any upcoming events that you'll be at?
Not necessarily. No, I'm just playing it by ear. I'm here at the Forest State Comic Con now. It's a great show. I'm doing that now, and then after that, I'm freelance or whatever. The future brings.
Well,
yeah.
That being said, have you been to many other cons before?
Oh yeah, I've been doing these since 1990 or 1991. I've been Comic Con signing shows. I love doing them. They're always fun.
Have you had let me just say, welcome to Forest State. I'm sure said that a lot yesterday. What's your favorite con experience being on this side of the table?
Just meeting the nice people. You know, the nicest people ever at these shows. Never mean people. Always great. So I love meeting them all. That's the joy of it. And they'll tell you, you know, Grease is the first movie I ever saw. We got married because of Grease, or Grease is my favorite film. Grease Chain Life or Polar Express. We watch it every Christmas. Makes you feel happy, you know.
Going back to Grease a little bit, I'm sorry for the ADD in reference to the movies.
Totally okay.
What do you think of the fan theory in regards to Grease, or have you heard that fan theory?
Yes, I heard it. It's not true. We did the Chiller Theater. We did it in May. The director denied it. He said it's totally a bogus theory.
But do you think that at least the theory is a fun aspect, or fan theories in regards to from Dexter's Lab to Grease to whatever movie, including Polar Express, is a fun thing for fans?
I guess. That one I don't like, where Olivia's dead. That one I don't necessarily like. But if there's other ones that are nicer, I like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got about 7 minutes, so I think that's about it. I do thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
If you do have a fan page, I will link everything to your fan page. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
And have a good day.
You too. Thank you, sir.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, that was our interview that we did a few years ago with Eddie Denzin. And for those of you who listened a real long time, I hope you enjoyed walking down memory lane once again with that interview. And for those who are new to the show, I hope you enjoyed that interview that we did with Eddie Denzin. And if you have any questions, comments, or what have you, as always, you can shoot us an email at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or leave a comment in the pinned post on our Facebook page, which is, again, once again, facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. That's right. Leave a comment there and please share this post because, again, we're trying to raise money to keep the lights on, the water running, and possibly get our internet back so we don't have to use public access anymore and be able to keep all our geeky cred and other stuff that's kind of being stored at a storage facility and get extra supplies. Links will be in the description and the promo post. So that's that in regards to everything. And if you also want to reach out to the show for any reason, again, our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. You could also contact us via Facebook. You can leave us a message there using Facebook Messenger, again, through our Facebook page. I know I keep promoting it, and it sounds like I'm getting confused. I'm trying to get back into doing the show again, which is a really hard thing to do when you've been on vacation for most of a month, and you took a week break between episodes. So, again, you can leave us a message on through Facebook using our Facebook page as a portal, which is, again, the Long Coat Mafia. I won't say that. Yes, we do have a main page, but the Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And we are on Twitter, so you can leave us a DM or at us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is Long Coat Mafia. We do have an Instagram page. Our Instagram account is Long Coat Mafia. So on both Twitter and Instagram, we will be very happy if you follow us there, and as well as our Facebook page, by hitting that like button or that subscribe button or that follow button, what have you. We do have a YouTube channel. Hopefully in the meantime, while we can't really do it because we need an internet connection in a way to do it, because that's what the app requires. But still, when we get back to things, we'll start putting up some videos on our YouTube channel. Might I add the fact that we do tend to put some exclusives on both our YouTube channel and our Facebook page. So, meaning that in some cases, if it's a real long-form episode, we'll put it up strictly on our YouTube page. If it's a short-form type of interview, we'll put it up strictly on our Facebook. Like, or if there's music that might be attached to it that we think might get copywritten or striked, we might put it up on Facebook because Facebook tends to be a little bit more lenient in regards to stuff like that. Either way, we ask you to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as our Facebook page. Our YouTube channel, you have to pretty much go there and search for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. We don't put our episodes up on, our full episodes up on YouTube anymore because for some weird, ungodly reason, when Podbean tries to send the episodes to YouTube, they don't really go up all that often. So that's why we recommend y'all doing the following. If you have a laptop or desktop with a internet connection, we ask you, or if you're able to go to a public access Wi-Fi, like a library or what have you, and go to our main website, which is a great central hub for things, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And yes, everything, the word the is part of the whole thing. So, and plus, all our episodes going back to the beginning are there, so you could download them at your leisure or listen to them via streaming them on the website. So you could do either. Or if you bring your laptop to a place like the library, you could use iTunes, Spotify, or if you have your own home internet connection, again, you can use iTunes/Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and a few other independent podcasting catching apps that are able to catch our show. If you are on a mobile device, whether it's an iOS or Android, we are found through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, plus the Podbean app. And I do recommend you bookmarking our website on your desktop or using the Podbean or having the Podbean app handy, because, well, there are times that places like Apple Podcasts and Spotify tend to have hiccups, and they don't really catch our episodes every now and again. Plus, I've known this by experience that there are times, even with the more popular podcasters out there, Apple doesn't really catch them for some ungodly reason, or Spotify. So bookmarking our Podbean site, our website, which again is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, or using or having our Podbean or using the Podbean app and subscribing to us that way. That way you're guaranteed getting our show one way or another. And plus, if you look up our website and decide to download episodes from our website on a mobile device, it's going to ask you for that Podbean app. So that's another thing to let y'all know about. Hopefully, I'll be able to see you guys or speak to you guys next week. I hope you enjoyed this hidden interview episode. And again, see y'all next week. Take care. I'm the Reverend Godfather, and I am out.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.